I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Sky Mills, who's going to read our Bible passage this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 4 and we're starting at verse 18.
Walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to the fish for people." At once they left the nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his son John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
You know, for the fishermen on Lake Galilee, this was just another ordinary day, wasn't it? They were doing what they did every day, and they were really good at it. The historians tell us that there was a thriving fishing industry that had grown round about Lake Galilee in first century Palestine, and these men were part of that thriving industry. Not only were they really skilled craftsmen who knew how to mend nets and who knew how to work the water to find where the best fish were, but they were also really good businessmen. They made a really good living out of what they did. In fact, some of them even had people who worked for them. That's how good their business was. This day started out for these guys just like any other day. Only the thing was, it wasn't just any other day, because this day Jesus came by. Can you imagine the scene? Can you picture it? The bustle of the day, the smell of the fish, the nets strung out, and all the people busily going about their day. And then this new young rabbi comes on the scene. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." Jesus issues an invitation, but this invitation to these men wasn't one for a group of disillusioned people who were looking for a way out of their current existence. It was to a group of really successful men, some of whom we know from Mark's account actually did have people who were working for them. They employed other people. So they were successful people, not looking for a road out of their current existence. But look how they respond. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Here we have it again. I've talked about this before on a Sunday morning. Jesus appears. Once again, God breaks in, and everything changes for someone forever. It happens time and time again in scripture, doesn't it? Think of Moses in the burning bush. He's out with the flocks and doing the stuff that he does. And there's God appears in a burning bush. And in that instant, Moses' life changes forever. There's Noah when he's told to build the ark. In that instant, things change forever. And then there's Mary, who meets the angel when it's just another ordinary day. And Mary's life changes forever too. And there are countless numbers of examples of people for whom that would be the case in scripture. God appears, issues an invitation, and things change forever. In this account, though, it wasn't just Peter and Andrew's day that Jesus interrupted. Verse 21 says, "Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him." James and John respond in exactly the same way. Immediately, they leave their boat. What always amazes me about the response of these four men and many others that we read about in scripture is the way they respond to Jesus. They don't go and consult people and wait and have some kind of big family discussion. They don't go and weigh up the ins and outs of it. They hear the call of Jesus and they follow immediately. There's no debate, no considering what's being asked of them. They leave everything and they follow him. What did they leave behind? I've said already that these guys weren't folks who were disillusioned looking for a way out of their lives as they were just now. They were happy, they were successful, they were doing what they did really, really well. These men left behind security. They left their nets, they left their boat, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. They made a good living from the job that they did, but they were prepared to leave it behind because actually Jesus asked them to follow him. They left the familiarity of life behind as well. You know, this was a familiar place. People would have known that if they were looking for these guys, they would have found them by the lake. It was all very familiar. Going out, catching the fish, bringing them in, selling them, mending the nets, you know, rinse and repeat almost. That's exactly what happened day after day. It was really, really familiar. They were comfortable, they were familiar. And Jesus calls them, and then they leave what it was that they were doing. They leave what they were good at, they leave what they were in control of, and they go and they follow where Jesus leads. I wonder too if they left part of their identity behind as well. They were identified, and they identified themselves as fishermen. That's who they were. That's what they did. But it wouldn't have worked had they still tried to be who they were when Jesus was calling them in to be something different. They couldn't have known at that point what following Jesus was going to entail, could they? I wonder if they would still have done it had they known what was going to happen and what was coming for them. Why did they go so readily? Why were they prepared just to up sticks and go wherever it was that Jesus was calling them and when he issued that invitation? I don't know about you, but when I think about that and I think about my experience, there's just something about Jesus, something about him that is just irresistible when he says, come and follow me. When he makes that invitation, there's something irresistible. I remember hearing somebody talk years ago about it's just those eyes. When you see Jesus' eyes and you hear what he's asking you to do, how can you possibly say no? There was just something about Jesus. And there's something really familiar in that for us, isn't there? If you've encountered Jesus, you'll know that sense of, I just want to follow Jesus. I just want to be at the centre of whatever it is that he's asking me to do. That saying yes and going wherever Jesus leads us to go. And like it is with us, it was the same for those disciples. He didn't just call them to follow him once. He wasn't just calling them for that day to follow him and then they were going to go back to doing what they did before. It was a whole life thing. They followed where he led. They followed with the healings. They followed with the teaching. They followed with the preaching. They followed with the deliverances. And when they diverted from what it was, from where it was Jesus was going or what it was he was asking them to do, and tried to go off and do their own thing, think about Peter, Jesus wasn't slow in telling them what he thought. He wasn't slow in telling them what he thought and pulling them back onto the path that he had asked them to travel. Last week I took part in yet another Zoom meeting. We don't do anything other than Zoom meetings at the moment, really, do we? This Zoom meeting was an interesting one. It wasn't a work thing, and I was listening to Kate Forbes. So Kate Forbes was the kind of guest speaker, if you like, at this thing. So Kate Forbes, the finance minister. And she talked about responding to the call of Jesus in her life. She talked about all these God coincidences that had happened that had got her to the place that she was in now as finance minister in the Scottish Government. And she talked about at various points looking and thinking, seriously, that's what you're really asking me to do, Jesus? How can I do that? I'm not qualified for that. And she talked about that at various points. And she said something that has really, really stuck with me. What she said was, God puts you in a place, or Jesus calls you to a place, and you have a choice. Either you stay or you run. The question is, do you have permission to run? And if you don't have permission to run, then the only option is to stay in the place that Jesus called you to be. I thought that was really profound, and it's really stuck with me. Do you have permission to run? If you don't have permission to run, then actually the call of God is still to stay. And maybe that's important for you to hear today. I don't know. Maybe it is, but it certainly struck a chord with me, and it stuck with me. As a church in White Inch, as corporately in White Inch, we've got a long history of responding to the call of Jesus. We've learned over the years that the church has been in existence here to be a church that said yes to Jesus when we knew he was calling us to something, even before we knew what the specifics of the call was. And that posture, that position of saying yes to Jesus, has led us into amazing adventures. We've seen the food bank establish and grow. We saw work with young people. We saw the Little Steps baby clothes exchange. We saw people moving furniture for other people to bless the community. We saw holiday clubs. We saw people give out free hugs or free words of encouragement. We saw a CAP centre created. We saw lives touched all across this area of the city and even beyond. And the list goes on and on and on. If you've been around Whiteinch for any time, you'll be able to add to that list. There's much more than just the things there that I've listed. We have a long history in Whiteinch of responding to the call of Jesus. And you know, Jesus still invites him to follow. Jesus still invites us to follow him. But where on earth, or at least where in Scotland, is he leading us now? There's no doubt in particular that over the last month it's been really hard to work out. But there's one thing that I do know. He's still inviting us to follow him. For the disciples, that meant leaving some stuff behind. For us, that's been true too. We've left behind lots over the last 18 months. These men that we read about in the story today, in the passage today, gave up everything to follow Jesus. But what an exchange there was. There were healings. They saw people delivered. Miracles happened right there in front of their eyes, and they even saw dead people come back to life. I guess as they got more and more and more involved, they must have got more and more excited and more enthusiastic about the difference that they were making, thanking their lucky stars that they had responded to Jesus in the way they had, thanking their lucky stars that they actually were in the right place just at the right time, planning for the future, looking forward to the next set of adventures. And then in one short week for them, everything changed. Does that sound familiar? You know, I expect for them that after Jesus died, they were left wondering what on earth life would look like now. I wonder if they looked back at where they'd been with Jesus and reminisced about following him. I wonder if they sat round the fire or as they sat in that upper room when Jesus told them to stay together and to wait. I wonder if they talked about the time that the wee boy's lunch fed 5,000 people. Or if they talked about the day they saw Lazarus walk out of the tomb. Stories about where we've been on our journey with Jesus are really, really important. Not only do they remind us about where we were, they also remind us about what was important to us. They remind us about what Jesus did, and they remind us about who Jesus is. You know, Deborah said last week that the place we find ourselves in as a church just now is one that's at best puzzling. Things look really different to they did 2 years ago, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years ago, whenever it was you heard that invitation to follow Jesus to Whiteinch. Things that have become familiar for us, things that even gave us a sense of identity of who we are, have disappeared. Some have disappeared temporarily, but some maybe have disappeared permanently. You know, the disruption caused by being in vacancy combined with the pandemic feels to me like it's created one of those kairos moments for us as a church, a bit like the moment in time when Jesus broke into the ordinary day of a bunch of fishermen, and in that moment they needed to think about how they were going to respond. So how are we as a church going to respond? What's Jesus inviting us into now? How do we discern or decide which way to go? Well, we do what we've learned to do over the years in Whiteinch. We do it together. That's why as a leadership team, we want to invite you to gather with us tonight. We so wish that we could do this in the Whiteinch Centre, round about the tables with wee sticky yellow post-its and a cup of coffee. But we can't do that, and it's too important to leave it until such times as we can. We want to gather now because it's important for us to move forward together. If you've been around White Inch for a number of years, you'll remember, like I do, a time when we faced as a congregation making a big decision. For those of you who don't know, we used to operate out of the building, the old Borough Halls in Inchley Street. When I came to White Inch at first, the church had just got that building and it was being done up and being made habitable for the mission school. And that building served as a base for White Inch Church for a number of years. We run lots of ministries out of it. The food bank started from there, CAP started from there. There was lots and lots of things that happened out of that building. It was a place that was an anchor point for us, where we could meet, where we could get together, a place which gave us opportunities to do things and be part of the community. And then one day, we felt that God might be saying to us that we needed to move from the building in White Inch. And somebody came with a prophetic word about moving from the building in White Inch. But that was a really hard thing to do. And as a leadership team, I was on the leadership team at that time, that was a really difficult thing to think about, because where would we go? We didn't have any other place to go. And we did at that time what we had learned to do. We met as a congregation, and I don't think I'll ever forget that Sunday afternoon when we brought our lunch and we met in that space in Inchley Street to talk about what God was saying to us. And I guess before that meeting I'd thought, gosh, there'll be as many different opinions as there are people here, because that's just the nature of it. But actually there wasn't. It was absolutely amazing to watch the one mind of God's people in that place say, if God's asking us to move, if Jesus is calling us out of this building, then the only thing we can do is say yes. And the decision was made that we would let the building in Inchley Street go before we had anywhere else to move to. We've learned in White Inch to do things together. We've learned in White Inch that not one of us individually has the mind of Christ, that together we have the corporate mind of Christ. And that's why we're asking you to come and to join us tonight, because we believe that together we can discern how to move forward. Why are we asking you tonight to bring your most memorable story of being part of White Inch? Well, when Jesus called the first disciples in the passage we read this morning, he didn't call them to be evangelists or prophets or carpenters to build churches. He didn't call them to be anything other than what was built on where they were just now, where they came from. He took what was in their history and he used it to shape their future. They knew about fishing, but he was going to use that fishing, that knowledge of fishing, to help them and to show them how to fish for people. There's something about our past which helps us to determine who we are now. Working out who we are as a church is really vital to working out where we're going as a church. Things have changed beyond what we could possibly have imagined a couple of years ago. Yes, there's been loss, and we're absolutely right to grieve that loss and to allow ourselves the space to do that. But also, within all of this change, within all of this very new outlook, a new world that we're living in, there are limitless possibilities for us. There's great gift. Why do I think that there's limitless possibilities? Well, because I think Jesus is inviting us once again to follow him. And in that, his invitation means that the possibilities are limitless. I want to invite you to start to dream again. Let's start to encourage one another with the stories of how we saw Jesus at work. And in sharing those stories, let's remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is doing a new thing, not just with us, but he's doing a new thing in the broad landscape of the church. Aslan is roaring once again, and I wonder today, does he have our immediately? What does that look like for us as a church? I really look forward to meeting with you tonight, to hearing those stories, to being encouraged, and to getting an opportunity to start to dream again about what could be. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you continue to call us. Jesus, we want to respond. And once again, as a church, we come to you, Jesus, to say that whatever you ask us to do, our answer is yes, even before we know what it is you've asked us. Jesus, we love you and we want to serve you in this place. Will you come and will you bring to mind those stories of where we saw you moving? Will you bring to mind the stories of encouragement that would encourage us to look forward? Jesus, where we have let our dreams go, will you come and will you fan those dreams again? Will you come and will you breathe life into them? Will you show us the ones that you gave us? And will you make us tenacious and not wanting to let those go? Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in White Inch and in the wider church in general. And we invite you, particularly with us in White Inch, to come and to have your way and to be glorified in that. For your sake and always for your glory. Amen.